You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Job Wouters. Now we're talking. You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the All Eyes on Type conference in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. It's May 11th, 12th, 2018, and our guest is Job Wouters. Welcome. You know the obvious first question. Are you religious?
I'm still puzzled. I realize that I have to answer this, and to answer it, I think I am religious.
Yes. In what sense?
Well, not that I go to churches. I do go, but mainly to watch fantastic frescoes, paintings. And the religious aspect is that I think, well, often when confronted to the complexity, the hyper-complexity of nature surrounding us, I sense that a spiritual feeling, that's about it. Yeah, feeling very small in this enormous complex system. That is, I think, my sense of spirituality.
And do you have rituals?
Of course. I think I have a lot of rituals. I think everyone has.
Such as?
If you listen to my talk, I eat noodle soup.
Is that an addiction or a ritual?
No, it's just new. I quit smoking like 2 months ago.
So noodles came in place.
Yeah, I think the funny thing was that smoking really was a ritual, and I also was a happy smoker. But I can only conclude that it's a win-win situation, because smoking is very enjoyable, and quitting to smoke is also very enjoyable. So I had to reformulate some of that rituals, though. Yeah, I had to think of something. And then noodle soup came into my life.
And it's your first time you've quit?
Yes.
Okay.
And I smoked for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And is the noodle soup take the place of the cigarette by means of sort of rewarding yourself, giving yourself a little break? And yeah.
As a smoker, you're constantly looking for pleasure. You're on the pleasure hunt. From every half hour, you get a little pleasure. And so that is the most, and I thought, I wasn't an unhappy smoker, but I was curious for a state of being in which I was not smoking. And the noodle soup, yeah, it really does that for me.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Why do you think about it so long?
I was questioning myself. I thought, am I superstitious? So I first had to think, what is that? Being superstitious means that you need rituals before you, and then you depend on them. And if the rituals don't work well, probably what happens after also doesn't work well, or it affects like your future path. I don't think I have that. I'm very much in the moment, so I'm not so worried. Sometimes I have this idea that I'm, everyone's talking about being in the moment as an ultimate goal, but sometimes I feel that I have to be a little bit more out of the moment. Because I, as a calligrapher also, I'm very used to the fact that you just zoom in your material and your paper and what you're doing so much. So that for me, that is, that's covered, that being in the moment. And thinking about future possibilities, or being somewhat more of an entrepreneur, or anticipating on things, or making plans, I don't have that so much. I go with the flow instead. Yeah. And it's not only a good thing, that was my point. Mm-hmm.
What is your first graphic memory or typographic memory?
Well, I would say my grandfather was a painter, And he made a, I never met him, he died way before I was born, but he made a double W, a monogram, and he drew it itself. You can, I can still draw it. It's from, it's one line, it's super elegant, and it has two W's intertwined. So it's both elegant, and so it's very simple, but it's also very complex. So I think that is the one of the first things that I thought, hey, this is something, yeah.
And so art and design runs through your family, you would say?
Yeah, I think so. On my father's side, it does. Yeah. So my grandfather was a painter, and my brother is also a designer. And I think obviously, now I have also children, so I think obviously we're, you know, in a sense, you're always doing what your father wanted to have done. Huh? You're, you know, you're taking that path not for just no reason. Although I've never felt that any pressure from him. I think, you know, for me, the urge to try and paint a face with flowers does have something to do with it, with the fact that my grandfather did that kind of thing. So yeah.
And so now you see it also with your children in your studio.
Well, yeah. I mean, I invite them, and there's all this material laying around, and I'm very much no. But also my oldest son doesn't really have an interest for painting or drawing, and he's also there, and he's reading books, so you can just do whatever. But yeah, probably I project all kinds of stuff on them, and they have to deal with that. And you know, the only thing that I can do is trying to be reflective on that dynamic, so that it doesn't, you know, bother them.
Do they like your work?
Well, they're very young.
Okay.
I mean, there's one is 4 and one is 6.
Or no, do they question
I think
it?
No, I think it's just a natural part of what I do, and I don't really, you know, they have a natural relation with it. Like, okay, he paints. I think sometimes my oldest, you know, hesitates when drawing, and I really, that scares me, because I don't want to create anything that it's intimidating, or, you know, that he has to live up to something beautiful, like a beautiful controlled flower I paint, and that he thinks I cannot paint this flower. That would be horrible. So, yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. That I don't, you know, frighten him with be so. But I think work is just laying around the table like food. So I hope that, you know, emancipates that.
We just saw your presentation, which was sort of a very small video tour of your studio, and then interjections and showing your work. Really nice.
It was very old, wasn't it?
The line throughout your work, in a way, is always like balancing between illustration and typography and design, and really figuring out your own path in between those. Is that the correct way of, like, has it also been your whole professional life, in a way?
Yeah, I think I just follow my interests. And those are very narrow and very broad at the same time. I think that is the answer. So I'm interested in, Well, how can I answer that? I don't know. Or maybe we have to do it again, that question.
But for example, you also talk about you start as a graphic designer, but now is there fine line between art and design? From commissioned work to self-initiated work.
Yeah.
But that is also quite a...
Yeah.
It's quite a challenge or a struggle. Or
it is.
How do you...
How do I deal
with
that? Yeah, it's different.
Or it just happens?
Well, it's different hats. And I mean, coming from graphic design, you're used to deal with different people and deal with different other contexts and think, what is, you know, what belongs here? What can I make that fits here? Or, you know, has a special relation with its surroundings or its content. So I think being trained as a designer, it helps to give some structure to all these creative urges that I have. I have them naturally, I think. I cannot help myself. I really want to make things very badly. But then, you know, having gone through this modernistic route of the Rietveld and all that, only later I provided a sort of structure and a way of thinking to get grip on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you always need a question or?
Yeah, well, I think in a sense I don't need a question to start working, but to make money I do. That's funny, eh?
Yeah.
Because I work all the time. As I told in my presentation that I'm developing different visual languages and ways of writing or painting. But I'm not really a entrepreneur, so I'm not going to think, okay, I'm going to make this object and then try to sell it. No. So I very much like to have a conversation with a client on what it is that they would see fit somewhere, or yeah. So that conversation is very, I like that a lot. And in the sense, I think I'm more of someone who responds than states. So you have people also who say, this is what I want to share, and I always like to respond. Yeah.
And now you say goodbye to typography?
No.
Is that for
good?
Not
at all.
No.
No. No, but I mean, it is also, I think, I think I've been sharpening my pencils and my tools, and I have my tool, which is my hand, for a long period of time, and now I'm questioning more. And that was also sufficient. And it was also, giving me a lot. And now I'm more also, at the same time, busy with what does it mean, what I'm making. So I'm trying to be a little bit more, let's say, adult with that creative energy. Yeah,
more conceptual also in a way.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think. Yeah.
I don't know if that's similar to adult.
Yeah, well, I don't. Maybe it's a bad word, adult. No, but I mean, there is a stage that you learn things and you also unlearn things. So I was creating so much when I was 21 without thinking too much, and that has a specific quality. So everything you think directly goes out there, and everyone can. You know, so you're communicating, and now I'm somewhat more hesitant sometimes, but I also think that my work, yeah, also has grown up, so it's that's parallel paths.
When you create a mural, I can imagine when it finishes, do you miss it, or you're relieved, or is it like, I never want to see you again? What is that?
I like to make temporarily murals for just they live just for a bit, because you can feel very free in a sense. If something is there for 50 years or I don't know, even longer, yeah, well, it better be really good, huh? And if something's there for an occasion and you can just enlighten a context or like a specific or you can change the surroundings or you can give it something. Yeah, that is much easier. Having said that, now I'm faced to make a very large work in public space, and so I have to really think about that. So what is it that I want to do? And I think the answer is I have to feel as free as I would when doing it just for, an exhibition for a month or something. So, yeah.
So the intention is for this work to stay longer? For like 50 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that can be confronting, no?
Yeah, it is. And yeah, and that's also nice to be confronted in your work. Well, I imagine that you're never confronted in your work. What would happen then? So no, it really, I don't know, it gets me sure. I get stress, you know, and it frightens me, but then it also intrigues me. Mm-hmm. So is there something like an ultimate work that belongs in that place? And am I the person to put it there? And can I find that? And is that even interesting to find something ultimate? Or should it just be like something very normal that I can do? Or how do I relate to the fact that it's going to be there for that period of time? It's interesting.
You study it at the Rietveld Academy. What direction? Was it graphic design?
Yeah, and before that I studied also typographic design in the Royal Academy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. At the Rietveld, was your way of working with all the hand tools and writing, was that stimulated at the Rietveld?
Well, I think I was a very unconcentrated student. And I think I had a very unique moment in time at the Rietveld Academy that I was taught by like superb people. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky to be there at that time. But as I said earlier also in this interview, I was only realizing that when I left. I think there's a lot of lessons that only worked for me when I left. When at the time there, I think part of the discussions were also too difficult for me, or was I was very young. And also very, like, I don't know, energetic, and I just wanted to make and not talk so much. And I think that's also the reason that I was welcome there, because they were talking a lot. Mm-hmm. But I also missed a lot of, I don't know, I missed things that they were talking about.
Yeah.
But it was no problem, because Linda van Deursen has a quality to just state whatever she likes and burn your ideas to the ground. And at the same time, let you feel that there's a world of possibilities. And I think that is such a that's such a strength for a teacher. So I never felt that it was not good what I was doing, or I never felt unmotivated by the conceptual curriculum, which was already there. And I think I was also appreciated for the fact that I was more of a worker, or through doing that I learned how to position myself, or how to get grip on the things that I wanted to make. Mm. Yeah.
Do you convey those ideas as well as in your own teaching?
Yeah, I think it really rubbed off on me. And also still I really want to motivate people. I think, and to create a safe environment in which you can just work a lot. And without having to feel that you have to, that something needs to be good, it's one of the most difficult tasks for a teacher to provide that kind of safety without losing a critical conversation. Yeah, that is the tension. That are the two things.
Sorry, and where do you teach?
At Royal Academy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, do your students also question you, or do you have that an open relationship, or is it more?
It's funny because I'm recently teaching a course with Bart de Baats, also a designer, a very good designer, and I think he's also a marvelous teacher. And he is very personal with students. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that is something that you should avoid you have to sort of keep distant. Or maybe that's also my personality, but I see him approaching students very closely, in a sense. But this conversation also then becomes very rich. And he is really someone who can do that, to provide like a safe space in which you can also be super critical in order to grow. And I hope I can provide that too. I mean, In the end, you can only teach yourself, let's say, like the things that you are and you know.
And what project are you working on now, apart from the, you mentioned the commission to work? You said on a secret project, you mentioned?
A secret project?
You said, I cannot talk about this project in the lecture.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a large manufacturer of
textiles.
Textiles, yes, I'm working for. And I'm very excited by it.
Is that also very the material itself?
Yeah. The good thing is, you know, I work in all kinds of different fields, and sometimes I work in a commercial field and I make some lettering for a campaign. And sometimes people who work around it with me are cynical or have a totally different relation with their work than I have. That is difficult sometimes. And because you think, well, is this really something that I want to put in the world? If you get older, I don't know, I'm really concerned with that. That you think, I can make 100 things. Do you really want to put this in the world, this advertising campaign? I don't know. And then the specific fabrics, they are so beautiful and so fantastic. Like, you really want, so there is no problem there. That is solved, that whole question. And that is, it's a very relaxed modus to start a project with. Like, whatever happens, this is going to be a fantastic product. Not that it's all my, it's because of the intrinsic qualities of the product that I'm designing already. It's in there. So yeah, I just have to, I don't know, yeah.
Is there something that you dream about? Like, oh, I would love to do that, like you say.
Well,
or you dream about a wall somewhere in one country that I would like to.
Yeah, well, I have this dream. It's a dream together with my friend and partner, Gijs Vrieling, that we have a sort of large villa, like an old villa somewhere or castle, and we invite people to paint parts of the walls, and that slowly but steadily over decades, it becomes like a masterpiece, and it would allow us also to invite people that are very difficult to approach because their paintings are too damn expensive. If you'd invite Luc Tijmans or I don't know, well name someone in an exhibition, there's a lot of stress because the paintings are so expensive. But if you invite them to join to paint a wall, you cannot really steal a wall, can you? So it would also, it's also an emancipating in the fact that like everyone is naked, you just have a wall and you have paint and you just have to do your best. And also to create like this Gesamtkunstwerk, and that it has a direct, I mean, it's the walls of a building, and you could also live there or invite people to live there. And well, that is, I don't know if it's gonna happen ever, but it's like constantly part of the conversation and the dreams of Gijs and me.
Is it similar to the Mares exhibit in where every room was completely...
Yeah, it was like another attempt. I mean, Gijs is already thinking about this for a bit longer. He did it also in the W139 one time, the Dr. Faustus exhibition. And I joined in the thinking process. And
It's also at Mares, it's the first time I saw something else than letters.
Yeah.
And also in your presentation, you see, it was quite a sort of a threshold you went over.
Yeah.
Were you sick and tired of the limitations of the alphabet?
No, I was just curious for something else. That's a very positive thing. I'm not sick and tired of letter forms at all. I'm very, they always come back. Yeah, they are sort of good friends. It's funny, they have characters, they have faces. I mean, it's like, they're familiar, and no, I mean, it's you can feel distant in a relation, but we're not gonna separate, no. And I think I am so intrigued by the fact that you can, if I paint a capital A or I paint a fish, what are the borders of that it's still an A, and what are the borders that it's still a fish? And to be able to produce something that is not unique, but you can just make again, I think that's also interesting and has to do a lot with calligraphy, obviously. So you paint, I'm trying to find out a fantastic letter A, like a recipe, and now I'm trying to find out a fantastic fish, and I can just paint loads. So like the whole idea that art should be expressive and in the moment and only once, and it's like super valuable because you cannot ever repeat it, I don't really believe in it. I think, or I believe in it. Of course, there are these things, but my interest is more that what can I make that I can also reproduce and also give to other people. I mean, you can also explain it, and we can together learn. And I don't know, yeah.
But it's also venturing into the world of craftsmanship, which is basically is like you earn the skill of like some skill to do something really well by repetition and like practicing the hand. The whole journey is also part of the appeal of the whole thing, I think.
Could be, yeah, totally. The journey is pleasurable for me. I always judge also projects, and that is a bit weird. I mean, with Gijs, like, did we have a lot of joy in it? That is like the first, the joy in the making and painting and thinking about it. You know, if it's not there, it's just it didn't succeed at all. Where I was talking about, you know, like pleasure in the sense of like genot, like how much genot was there, like the Dutch word for pleasure, which goes a little bit further than pleasure.
And what is the setting for that? Is it also how you wake up in the morning, or is it the question, or
the best setting?
Yeah, like when you think about it, for a project that says, "Oh, that really, I loved it."
Well, Marès is a good example because we were just painting. We were painting with 19 fantastic people in this building and discussing topics that we were concerned with and helping each other out. Also that I liked very much. So someone asked, Bona van Doorn had painted a fantastic piece and he said, can you you paint those nice flames? Can you put just, can you paint some flames in my painting? Yeah, then that is just fantastic, I think. And
I really love that room with all the fruit and the fish, all the like the edible stuff, and then Bono's stuff with all these plastic kitchen utensils.
Yeah,
it's really sort of make complete sense.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is it still there?
No,
it was. It's temporary.
Gone.
Yeah.
You're not sad about that then?
No, not at all. Also, it allows me to work with materials that you cannot really work with if it's everlasting. That's also a problem in a sense that if you, I want to sometimes I work with materials that you can just put your nail in and scratch it off, or there's one drop of water and it just goes right through. So you cannot do that when it has to be live very long, but it has it is like the best. Experience. It's totally matte, for example, and the colors are super vibrant at the same time. I mean, that is an experience that you really want to give someone. And after some weeks or months, it's scratched, obviously, because there's people walking by, but still, you can sense that.
It's also if it would be for eternal or for 50 years, a longer time. You really have to think about the preservation how it's going to look in time.
Well, in time, it like you have to. It limits you in your possibilities on how to work. Yeah.
All right. Last question. You do that?
Yeah. How would you like to be remembered?
Wow, that's a good one. In my work or in my personal life or in like and whatever, huh? Yeah. Well, I think as someone who's kind, I think kindness is like a great virtue. Someone who was kind. And I don't think I'm kind always because I'm very much concerned with my work.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.